morning, everybody, and welcome back. It has been a while, but I am delighted to be back with you. I very much enjoyed my time away, but it's also good to be back in Virginia, back with you in the mornings, and I welcome you. It is Monday, December 28, 2020. Hard to believe Christmas has come and gone, hasn't it? And before we know it, it will be 2021. My goodness. I said yesterday in my sermon, I remember Y2K like it was yesterday. Y'all remember Y2K? Best Buy, I've got a picture. I know it's going to pop up on my Facebook memory feed here in the next couple of days, but the picture from Best Buy, the little card that they had on one of their shelves about resetting your computers. And you remember when everybody thought the world was going to end in Y2K, right? Because all the computers were going to shut down and all that kind of business. Well, here we are 21 years later, almost. It's amazing how time flies. But I am delighted to be back with you this morning, and I'm delighted to continue on with our study of the gospel according to John. We're in chapter 14, and we're going to pick up today in verse 22. If you recall, the last time that we were in John together, Jesus is in this section. I mentioned this before. There's a few grand sections of the Gospels of the New Testament, the first four books of the Bible, where Jesus really sets aside time to offer teaching. Without a doubt, the most famous of which is Matthew chapter 5 through 7. Okay, that's referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. That is probably the largest or the most widely known section of Jesus' teaching. However, John 14 through 17, powerful, powerful stuff. And we find ourselves right in the midst of this as we're making our way through John chapter 14. Just think about some of the things that we've heard thus far that Jesus has taught. Everything from the fact that he is the only way, the only truth, the only life. No man comes to the Father except through him. We saw that in verse 6. Then in verse 15, as we saw the last time we were together, Jesus gives this statement, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Right? He's talking about what it means to really love him and follow him. And then he gives the promise of the Holy Spirit. And he's going to reiterate that today. And it's going to sound very similar, but what he says is somewhat different. And we'll see if you can pick it out here. But that's what we're picking up with today. We're going to start in verse 22. And I'm happy to be with you. So welcome, everybody, whether you are joining us live right now or whether you will be joining us sometime in the near future or maybe even the late future. We are glad that you are here. Let's see who's here. There's Stacy. Good morning. And yes, Monica, happy Christmastide to you as well. And there's Alice. Good morning. And Shirley, good morning. And there's Christine. Good morning to you. And Beth, good morning as well to you. Now, let's get started. So we're in John chapter 14, verse 22. Okay, it says, then Judas, not Judas Iscariot. And I love that parenthetical kind of thing that's going on there in parenthesis there. This is not Judas the betrayer. This is Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot, not him. Then Judas said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Okay. Now this is coming right after verse 21. Jesus says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. And that's the setting of Judas asking this question. But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? What's going on here with Judas? You know, Judas is the one that actually asks it. The fascinating thing is, if you've ever been a teacher, you know, there's that old idea that if I used to tell my students, if you have a question, raise your hand and ask it, because you're probably not the only one that's asking this question. That is a very true statement that I have found. I don't think this is just Judas that is pondering these things. And I don't think this is just Judas who doesn't quite get it. Okay? And the question is, what does Judas not quite understand? Well, I don't think he understood the thing that the other disciples didn't understand yet. And that is the nature of Jesus being the Messiah and who Jesus really is and what Jesus really came to do. There are lots of different theological terms that can be used to describe what is really being pointed to here. And make no mistake about it, Jesus does not really answer Judas's question here. He just keeps on. But in how he keeps going, the answer is really revealed. And the answer is this, you know, this question, why are you going to show yourself to us but not to the world? When Jesus talks about showing himself to them, you got to realize there are two key aspects of this. And this is where hermeneutical care is required. In other words, the way that you interpret the scriptures, you got to be very careful here. Don't turn this into some transcendent thing. When Jesus says that he will show himself to him, he is talking about how he, in the resurrected form, is going to appear to his disciples. Okay? That's what Jesus is getting at here. This is a prophetic statement. This is Jesus talking about how we know that he is going to be crucified. We know that he's going to rise again. We know that eventually he is going to return to heaven. But what he's talking about here is that he is going to show himself to his disciples. And this is a physical, literal showing. So that's the first interpretation of this, the primary interpretation of this. And that's why Jesus doesn't explain any further to Judas here what he's talking about. But there is another aspect of this that's important, and it gets to the broader understanding of what Jesus is talking about here. When Jesus says that he will show himself to those who love him, what he's talking about is the revelation of his word, how by his Holy Spirit the word will be illuminated for us, not revealed to us, because God's word is complete, y'all. There is no more writing of God's word. It is full and complete. The Holy Spirit illuminates, not revelates, not reveals. The Holy Spirit illuminates, turns the lights on for us. And I think that's part of Jesus saying that he would be shown to those who love him. The overall idea that we get from this refers to the term union with Christ. You know, there are lots of contributions made from Reformation doctrine, but perhaps the greatest of these was Calvin's concept of union with Christ. That Jesus is not just someone that we recognize with our beliefs, that we say we believe Jesus exists like we believe Mars exists, even though we've never been there. No. There's a difference between believing on the name of Jesus, believing in the name of Jesus, and recognizing that Jesus exists, right? We know that the demons recognize that Jesus exists. It doesn't mean that they're redeemed, y'all. What this is pointing to here, this business of loving me that Jesus talks about, of following my commands, obeying my commands, what he's referring to there is a real relationship with the Lord, with him. What he's talking about is really knowing Jesus. And those who know him, those that are united with him, that have union with him, it's this idea that Jesus comes in and dwells with you. And because he is with you, you see him through his word. All right? So that's what's going on here. So Judas asks, Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not the world? The simple answer, though Jesus never gives it, is that the world does not have Jesus. Those who love him, those that are united with him and to him, they will see Jesus. Okay? That's what's really going on here. So now Jesus, what does he say? It's in verse 23. Judas says, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not the world? Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. All right? Now pause for a second there. Pause. You might say, why does Jesus answer this question exactly the same way that he's already been talking? But it's not exactly the same way. If you were to roll back earlier in the chapter, Jesus says, whoever has my commands and obeys them. It's in verse 15. Also, if you love me, you will obey what I command. There's a subtle difference here in verse 23, but it is the difference that is noteworthy. All right? In 15, he says, if you love me, you'll obey my command. But in 23, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will what? He will obey my teaching. Now, you might say, well, command, teaching, what's the difference? There is a profound difference, y'all. There's a profound difference. Remember what they called Jesus? They called Jesus rabbi. They called him teacher. All right. There's a difference between the statements that Jesus makes, the commands that Jesus gives as Lord, and also there's the teachings that he offers as our Savior. So what's really the difference here? What's Jesus talking about? There's a difference between what he says and his word. Another translation of this is, if anyone loves me, he will obey my word, my teaching. Now, you might say, well, of course. But, y'all, there is something important that we ought to bring out here. And it points to this problem that we have in the modern world, especially in modern Christianity. This idea that people can say, well, I love Jesus. Love Jesus. Me and Jesus, we're like that. Love Jesus. His word, though, the Bible, you can keep the Bible. Spending time in worship, all of these things, you hang on to that. I'm a very spiritual person, right? Somehow we got this idea that people can be spiritual and completely deny the tenets of the faith, but that's what's going on. I didn't invent this. I have a tendency to practice it. I think we all naturally do. When we hear stuff like this, the automatic response is probably derision, but if we're honest with ourselves, we have a tendency to pretend to be very spiritual and at the same time not really follow the word. And that's what we ought to draw from this. You know, there is no separation between loving Jesus and loving not only the Word of God, but loving those who are in Jesus also. It's impossible to love Jesus if you don't love his Word. That's what this really comes down to. If you want to take something away from this, and the thing that you should take away from this is, yes, there's a difference between Jesus saying, if you love me, you'll obey what I command, and if you love me, you'll obey what I teach. You will obey my word. You cannot love Jesus if you do not love the word of God. And in the same way, you cannot love Jesus if you do not love those in whom he dwells. What a disastrous thing it is. Y'all, I preached about this yesterday. If you tuned into the sermon, I talked about the fact that this thing that's going on where people say, oh, I love the Lord, but I don't want to have anything to do with church. Y'all, come on. Jesus died for the church. Jesus inhabits the church. And no, I'm not talking about the physical building. I'm talking about the people that make up the church. You can't love Jesus if you don't love the place that he dwells. You can't love Jesus if you don't love the people in whom he dwells. And furthermore, there is no such thing as spirituality separated from God's word. The word is the revelation of Christ. That's why in the beginning of John, he is called the word. He is the living revelation of God's word, and you cannot separate the two. That's why I believe Jesus makes these two statements that are just slightly different in word, but really quite different in terms of practice. So Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken with all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. And I will remind you, will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. And we'll stop right there for a second. Now, what Jesus is really getting down to here, it's almost exactly the same kind of language as he said before. But again, this whole business of following God's word, coupled with my Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. This is all about what it means to really be united with Christ. Yesterday, I talked about the difference, and I've talked here about the difference between knowing God and knowing about God. One of the main problems that we face in the church in the United States is we got all sorts of people that know all about God, but they don't really know him. They're a member of a church somewhere or might have been baptized, all of these things that are part of the cultural side, and they're all good things. But y'all, there is a colossal difference between knowing about Jesus and actually knowing him. And the difference comes in what you actually do, who you actually are. Are you really following Jesus? You know, that's the call of Jesus, isn't it? We see it all throughout his earthly ministry. What does he say? He starts with the disciples, leave what you're doing and follow me. But then he makes that teaching clear for everyone else. Drop what you're doing, put your attention on me, and follow me. The calling for us is to believe on the name of Jesus, and in so doing, to be saved. What does that mean? It means that through trusting in Jesus, you follow what he says. Now, will you do this perfectly? No, I won't do it perfectly either. That's why Jesus is going to be very clear here about how, number one, he's going to send the Holy Spirit to teach us all of these things. The idea is an ongoing teaching because nobody is able to memorize that much. And the issue is not memory anyway. Y'all, so often, the issue is not our knowing the right or wrong thing to do. We naturally know the right and wrong thing to do. Every once in a while, we need spiritual instruction, but for the most part, we know what's right and wrong, don't we? The problem isn't knowing. The problem is I want to gets busted. We know the truth. We just don't want to do it. That's one of the promises that comes along with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to get to that tomorrow because I don't want to embark on this study right now. But for today, focus on this idea. It's the idea of loving Jesus through following his commands. But then there's the idea of loving Jesus through following his word. Examine yourself. You know, we're at this time of the year, and I'm going to talk more about this as the day approaches, but the new year is upon us. The new year is upon us. Yesterday in my sermon, I talked about this mentality, new year, new me. Y'all, the only way there's going to be a new you is if you're in Christ, because that's the essence of being new. When Jesus said, behold, I make all things new, the way that Jesus works in our life by his power through his Holy Spirit is that we die unto ourselves. And we live more and more unto Christ. We are being changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. But the vehicle by which we are being changed, the means by which we are being changed, it's not some legalistic, I've got to follow this list. Y'all, the means by which we are changed is through loving Jesus enough to trust him. By loving Jesus enough to really follow him. And y'all, don't turn following Jesus into some ultra-spiritual, ethereal, floating out there thing. If you want to follow Jesus, you do the things that Jesus did. If you love him, that's why with such simplicity, he makes these explicit statements. Hey, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. If you love me, you'll follow my teachings. We have a tendency to complicate things. We have a tendency to look for some secret path. Right? Some higher plane of spirituality that we can step. Y'all, it's not that complicated. Believe on the name of Jesus. Focus on him. Will you be perfect? No. If you could be, God would have never sent Jesus. But if you're trusting in him, if you are seeking his face by following his command, by seeking to, by the best of your ability to follow his word, that's how you die to yourself and live under Christ. That's how you truly follow him. And praise be to God that he doesn't leave us alone in these things. But instead, this promise, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name will teach you all things. We're not alone. We have each other, yes. We have God's word, certainly. But we have the Holy Spirit to work within us, to guide us in these things. And that's what we'll pick up with tomorrow. Let's pray. Lord Father, I thank you for this time that you've given us together, and I pray that you would be with us now. Help us to really do that self-evaluation, to look past all of the spiritual language stuff and the things that so often complicate, and to really examine whether or not we love you. Whether we're following Jesus' commands, whether we are following your word. If we're not, then convict us. Help us to be people of your word, to find our strength by the Holy Spirit in what you have revealed. In short, help us to trust you. If there's any here that do not know you, help them to see how much they are in need without you, how lost they are without you. And help them to see that all these promises you make of fullness, of life, of newness, completeness, it can be theirs, but only in Christ. So please work these things in our hearts, and we pray it all in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'd like to thank you all for being a part of this time. And there, let's see, who's joining us? There's Rose and Jeannie. Good morning. Yes, and we miss you. I missed being with everybody last week, but I'm happy to be back. Lord willing, I'll be back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Until then, I hope you all have a wonderful day.